into that. It's a good day when we're healthy and we're here and we're in the house of God, and even though the heat may be out there, so don't complain. I mean, you know, your tea is no good until it's gone through the heat. So you get a little heat, it'll make you better. One little correction in the bulletin, me and Miss Millie misfired, I guess, somewhere. It says on my Bible study, new series I'm starting this Wednesday, it's not gifted series. It says gifted series, exposing the me me at first mindset. That's not a gift. That is love in action, Miss Millie. And so that's the series I'm starting. I thought that was kind of humorous. It's just my gift to think about me. You know, that's kind of what it sounded like. So, yes, checking me out. Well, did I pass, I guess? Well, good. Good. Children's Church may follow Miss Jana. We were out yesterday looking at a house. Our friends were building over on Peabody Road, and we left their house and headed home and on our bike, and before we got home we were drenched in sweat. And so even some of the times that we choose to play is going to interfere, but today's a good day. Today's a good day. That's what we should wake up and say, regardless of what's outside. Today is a good day. One day, Jan and I were looking at our skin and said, oh, look, our skin don't look like Addie's and all of our young grandkids anymore. And I said, yeah, but just think, this is the best it'll ever look. Some of you losing your hair, you know. Bill turned, how old are you now, Bill? 29 again. My goodness, he's stuck. But some, you know, it's probably the most hair you'll ever have, unless you get Rogaine or something like that. You know, I mean, it's a process, isn't it? It's a process. How many knows you're going through a process today? And so, when you're going through the process, the best advice I can give you is just walk with God. That's what we're going to talk about today. Just walk with God, because wherever you are and whatever you're doing, walk with God, and He'll help you to get there. We're going to look at that again today, and revisit some scripture that we looked at yesterday. If you have your Bible, you ready to learn? Say with me, this is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 9, if you have your Bible and want to turn with us, we're going to go back there again today. And I wanted to move on a little farther, but I don't feel like the Holy Spirit wants me to move farther than this today. Remember last week we talked about walking with God, and Paul was in a bad situation, wasn't he? Because he thought that he was doing the will of God. Have you ever thought in your mind you were doing the will of God and just found out you weren't? If you haven't yet, you just either one, you haven't done much with God lately or in your life, or two, you haven't been serving Him very long, because I'm telling you, that will just come. I think it's a test, like Millie was talking about, that's a test to see if you read the bulletin. I think that is a test. Just so you'll know that you're not all knowing. It does something to you when you think you have the mind of God and you don't, or it doesn't pan out that way, and so you have to just admit that must have not been God. You know. One of the things that one of my most recent really big blurps, I think, is a couple of Easters ago. Remember we had a complete room makeover? And I thought, man, that will draw hundreds in for our hook for Easter. And I was just sold on that and convinced. One person came, and she won. And she was a Christian. She came and received her gift and left. Cost us $3,000. She was happy though, wasn't she, Mark? We went over and renovated her bedroom, new carpet, new everything, and she wanted clouds on the ceiling, so we painted clouds on her ceiling. That's cool, yeah. But we just fixed her up really nice and bought her a new bedroom suit and all that stuff. I thought it was God, and maybe it was God. Maybe God would do that for one person, but you know, the fruit of it and what we intended to do with it, it just didn't line up, you know. So, and here's what I know. When I'm convinced it's God, I can push. Can you push when you think it's God? And so for all you that are like, man, you can really push when you think it's God and you're walking with God and you're just almost sure you've heard from God and this is a good thing and there'd be so much fruit and it doesn't pan out, just say, well, you know what, God's still got grace. Where ignorance abounds, grace is much more abound. Sometimes you just miss it. And then sometimes you think you got a word for somebody and you give it and it just don't pan out the way you thought. And or sometimes it just doesn't work. But you know, the best thing I know to do in this life is just walk with God. Walk closely with the Savior. Now, Paul thought he had all the right credentials. He thought he had, remember last week we talked about he had his letter from the church that I can persecute every person that names this Christianity thing, because he thought that his church was being threatened, the true Orthodox church was being threatened. And so he had his letter and he's going around persecuting Christians and it's sanctioned by the church. It must be right. How many knows the church is sanctioning things that's not right today? You know, most of us in our families, we have individual family members that are professing homosexuals or lesbians, but I don't think that we ought to put them in charge of the church. We ought to ordain them to lead the church. And not that God doesn't love them, and not that they're just as precious as we are, but because He names that certain activity, that certain lifestyle, as sin. And I wouldn't want to put a murderer, a serial killer, in charge of the church, would you? Or whatever else God says. If you're in the habit of stealing, you can't help it. You're a good communicator. You're a good person. You know how to study the Bible. But if you were stealing all the time, we wouldn't want to put you in leadership in the church. We sure wouldn't want to put you as a treasurer. You know? It doesn't mean God doesn't love you, but just means that in that area, you're walking in darkness. You're not walking with God, and we don't want to subject the funds to you. We don't want to further tempt you. And so Paul thinks he has the heart of God. And so I really try to key in on, hope you got that last week. You know, just because it's sanctioned by the right people and you're trying to push this thing forward, you need to check your heart. Need to check the intent. And then I talked to you, the second thing was about the intent of the heart. And I believe that's why Paul found so much grace. Paul had killed Christians. He was there given his approval when they stoned Stephen to death, and he was on his way to make sure he's going to make the life of a lot more Christians miserable, because he's got his letter, he's got his approval from the high priest and the council of his church, and so here he goes, and he's on his way. But I believe why he found so much grace is because of this, because his intent was good. Let me put it in this. Let me bring it close to home. What if the Apostle Paul, you had lived in his day, or he was living today, and he had killed one of your loved ones? What if he had taken one of your daughters, or your mom, or dad, or your spouse? What if he had killed one of your Christian loved ones? And all of a sudden, he found grace. And all of a sudden, he's not even on trial. He's not going to prison for killing one of your loved ones. What would you think about that? It'd kind of be hard to keep the intent of your heart toward Paul right, wouldn't it? It'd be hard to walk in along with God and be happy with Paul, you know, now, oh, well, now, but now he's preaching the gospel. I know he killed Aunt Susie, but you know, we've got more aunts, or whatever it is. I'm not Susie, but Aunt Fran, you know. But what, those were somebody's loved ones, and can you imagine going to church with Paul? After his conversion, and the preacher standing up there is the one that kills your wife or your husband or your child? Can you imagine trying to say hallelujah as he preaches the gospel and how good God is? That'd be tough, wouldn't it? It'd be hard to keep your intent right, wouldn't it? Your heart and your motives right toward that individual. But that's what some of the Christians had to do during this time. They had to bear that burden to say, well, now, in all fairness, how many knows God's fair and he balances the scales out? Here's where we get in trouble. When we're walking with God and we try to balance the scales out, well, we'll just finagle around and we'll make sure that they get what's coming to them. How many knows he said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. And so, you don't have to worry about God balancing the scales out. And in this story, he talks to Ananias, and we'll get there next week, but he talks to him and he said, I'm going to show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So in his ministry, I believe this, and it may not be, but this is the way I believe it, that Paul has sown some things toward the church, and God's saying a part of your ministry will be suffering. He announced it before he was even prayed for. So sometimes when people do things against you or hurt you or accuse you or hurt you, and we think, well, you ever had an attitude? When you and I get an attitude, what we're saying is, you know what, I want to walk with God. I got God by the hand, but I'm gonna turn loose and have my attitude for a while. Now, we don't think we turn loose, but we do. In that area, we turn loose because God says, I'm not walking with you. You can't walk in darkness and walk in light in the same time. And so what happens to all of us, and the reason I want to talk to you about intent today is because I know all of us in here that I know of you and know most of you pretty well, your intent probably is good in most things, but sometimes we all have little areas in our life that our intent is not good. And that's hard to admit, isn't it? But there's just areas that, you know, somebody that just, you know, jabs at you. Maybe it's a boss that just is terrible, you know, to you, or a coworker, or somebody that just gets under your skin and is hateful to you, or somebody hurts you. You ever been hurt by a loved one? Not too many years ago, probably three now or so, I did a, you know, most of you know I dabble in real estate, and I love real estate. Just everything about it fascinates me, and love to look at houses that need refurbished and see them transformed, or watch those little TV deals. I saw a thing on TV yesterday with a guy saying, in this market today, and he's selling a book for $19.99. Real hard for me not to order it, because I just like to look at that stuff. But anyway, I had a family member that had a need, and they had two places, two properties with acreage with both of them, and they were trying to sell them, and they weren't having much luck, and they had a contract on another house, but it was a contingency on selling their properties to get in this house, and they really wanted the house, and so I said, I'll help you, I can make money off that property. You know what my wife told me? You better not get involved with family. Sometimes you're walking with God and sometimes He talks through your wife. You ever notice that?
Amen.
Now there's two things. There's good and bad of that. I made pretty good money off the property, but I had some really hard heartaches because of it. In fact, my family member, and in all fairness, you know, I told my family members, because I thought I'm going to do it. You know, you have to have an appraisal. So I did an appraisal, and I told the family member, I said, this property with the house and the land appraised for this much more than what you're asking. And they said, I know. I don't want to mess with it. I'm tired of, you know, I don't want to show it, and I don't want to mess with it anymore, and I'm just going to get rid of it. I said, okay. Just wanted you to know. And so, you know, my intent was good. I was honest with them, and so after we closed the deal and immediately I got an offer. I didn't take it because it wasn't that much, but I closed the deal and fixed the house up and improved the property, and you know, I had a bulldozer come out and bulldoze the pond. It had been dry and now it was holding water, and it's just, you know, just brush hogged it, made it look beautiful, and so the day we closed, my relative said, if you hadn't bought it, we could have made more money. My intent was to help them out, and in the process, I thought, I can make money. And they said, well, what if you lose money on it? I said, I won't. I keep up that, and I know the value, and I won't lose money. And they said, well, what if you do? I said, well, then that'll be on me. And so all this conversation, and you would think everybody was happy. But my wife said, you better not get involved. Don't you hate when they're right, guys? Don't you just hate that? But guess what? When we drug a big check home from the closing, she didn't say, I told you so. So, you know, there's justification. You know, God always works it out. But and here's why I told you that story. If my intent had been wrong, if my motives had not been pure, when my loved one accused me, you know, really of just taking them to the cleaners. You know, that they accused me of a character, that was a character flaw. You're not honest, you don't have character, you know, and that to me, there's nothing worse you could do to me other than hurt my kids or grandkids. That would be worse. But to say that you're not a person of integrity, that really took me a long time to get over that. In fact, I told the loved one, I said, give me that check. We just closed and I just give them a check. I said, give me the check. I'll pay all the closing and the things and just give me the check and we'll call it good. And they wouldn't do it. But it hurt me. And it took me a while to get over it. I can usually process pretty heavy things within 2 or 3 days because I'm just focused on it until I process it and think what I need to do and how does it need to work and what part can I do. And I'm focused on that until I get it done. Now, you may be that way. You may carry it longer, but usually you'll process. And the key here is when you're walking with God, make sure He's right in the mix of your processing. Because here's what happens whenever we feel like we've been mistreated or treated unkind, all the favor shifts to one side, doesn't it? Do you ever notice that? And then we start picking out their character flaws. You ever notice that? Well, you pick on me, let me tell you something about you. Now, we won't do it to their face because we're, you know, not that brave, but we'll start picking on their character flaws. I'm just telling you how it works. Is this the way it works? And so we start picking on them and saying, you know, and I can't believe they said that. And that's not walking with God. What walking with God in situations is where we're saying, God, this has hurt me. And here's what I thought. I thought, I hate that they think, because I think they really believe that or they wouldn't have said it because it's my family and they love me. But this is what they shot at me that day and it hit me right in the heart and the head and it hurt. But here's the thing that I believe is key in Paul's story, and the thing that was key in my story, and the thing that's key in your story is, when you're going into things like that, and the arrow's been shot at you, and you know that your intent was good. Man, I'm telling you, that's a foundation that you can stand on. That's solid ground, because you know that your intent was good, and you know that your Maker is happy with you because your intent was good. The Bible talks about God winks at ignorance. See? And that's where Paul is walking. He's walking in ignorance because his intent was to say, I'm going to save the real church. I'm going to stamp out this thing called Christianity. And my leaders haven't said the Messiah has come, so the Messiah must have not, he hasn't come yet. See, that's his thinking. And so he's out to stamp out this false doctrine, this false religion. And so I think his intent was right. And that's why he has a Damascus Road experience. Let's read Saul in verse 1 of chapter 9 in Acts. Then Saul, still breathing threats and under murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus so that if he found any who were of the way, Christians, Christ followers, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? The Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. And we talked about that last week. Remember, when somebody's persecuting you, Jesus takes it real personal. And that should console you and me and comfort us. That when somebody is picking at you, they're picking at Jesus. He takes it very personal. Why are you persecuting me? Why? In the Greek it talks about, why are you pursuing me? When somebody's pursuing you and dogging you, they're pursuing Jesus Christ if your heart's right and you belong to Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but that give you a mental picture. Come here, Eric. Say if I'm one of God's children and here's you're Jesus today, okay? And here's Jesus. David talks about surely. He says as he's walking through the valley of the shadow of death and he says surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And goodness's mercy is Jesus, isn't it? And so wherever I go, he's right here. He's pretty big, isn't he? And then if you come against me, guess what? Yeah. Yeah. Here's what we do though, when you come against me, I forget about him. And I start focusing on you and me, and I forget about, and where he's at. Yeah, and then that's what happens.
I can whip you anyway.
Yeah. But you can't whip him. And that's what we need to remember is, the world can whip you, but it can't whip him. And surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I'm going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That just comes along with the territory. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. We ought to quote that one as much as we quote, you know, the blessing verses. My God shall supply all my needs. You know, just get up and say, many are the afflictions of me today, but I have somebody that's going to help me. You know, he's going to be here. I may not feel him today, but he just said, I make you a promise. I'm going to be here. I'm going to follow you all the days of your life. So, you know, he's bigger than Eric. Eric's a big guy and muscle, but, you know, he's bigger than this. And he's following you. And so what happens is, thank you, Eric, what happens is we get our focus off our petty little feelings and what we're doing, and we get it back on Jesus because he's walking with us and he's not left us. We feel forsaken because all this stuff's coming to get me. My family has just questioned my character, you know, call me a thief more or less, and it hurts, but he's with me. Now, what does he want me to do? And same way with Paul, his intent is good, but he says, you know what, Paul, when you're pursuing one Christian, you're pursuing me. And there comes a time when Jesus is going to look at your adversary and he's going to knock him to the ground, or he's going to do something. He'll bring you relief somewhere. Whatever's pursuing you today, whether it's sickness, whether it's individuals, whether it's financial burdens, whatever's following you today, if you're in good standing with Christ, it's pursuing Jesus, and Jesus will not tolerate that forever. Are you with me? He's with you. You know, he's with you. The Lord is your shepherd. And so he says, why are you persecuting me? It's hard to kick against the goads. And the King James says the pricks. In other words, it'd be like standing there and kicking the sharp end of a knife. He says, that's a rough kicking there you're doing when you're, you know, or a big thorn bush and you're standing there kicking it with your bare foot. How many knows that's a rough place to kick? He says, you're in a bad place. So he, trembling, verse 6, astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go to the city, and you will be told what you must do. I believe the saving grace for Paul, I think if he had been a malicious individual and done what he had done and persecuted all the Christians he had persecuted, this would have probably been his death sentence. He probably would have never got up off the ground. That's what I believe. But because his intent was right. In fact, let me tell you like this, because you that have children and grandchildren, you'll understand this. Whenever your kids do something ignorantly, you know, you hate it, don't you? I mean, sometimes they just tear up stuff, and I think I told the story, but it's a classic where Colton threw one of his toys over into Michael and Summer's pool, and the other kid took a stick and was going to fish it out and tore a big hole in their liner and ruined the liner. See, that's ignorance. My grandsons were walking in ignorance that day. And then I never forget, we were sitting on the patio having a burger one day with charcoal right after that happened, and Jana asked one of the boys, what did you do that for? He said, I just wanted to see what it would do. And she said, well, you shouldn't do everything you just wonder about. You know, I just wondered what it would do. And Michael said, that's right. He said, if I did everything I wondered about, you'd have knots all over your head right now. I thought, that's a good example, isn't it? That's a great example. But they didn't put knots all over their heads. They didn't give them a whipping or their due punishment like they probably would have if it had been intentional. When one of our kids or grandkids, one of your own, does something maliciously, there's a different feeling in here, isn't there? Why did you do that? And if you watch them maliciously do something and they say, I didn't aim to, with that tone, you know you've got problems. Then your blood pressure get higher. you know, maybe it's the same crime or even a less offense, but you're, because of the tone and the attitude, and they're doing it with an intent to hurt, you know, premeditated, they're walking with a stick toward the kid and bam, you know, and the toddler hits another toddler, that's pretty malicious, isn't it? It's not like they pick the stick up and hit them, or a toy or whatever, or you see them pick a toy up and put it in their pocket and like they're going to walk off with it. There's a difference, isn't there? And I think we get that, that feeling is because God put that in there, that the kid's in a lot more trouble if that's an intentional, malicious thing than it is if it's just some stupid thing that, because I raised a boy, and boys just do a lot of stupid things. They just do. And girls do some, but I tell you, boys are just, if you've got a boy, they're insurance. Wait till they get a car if your kid hadn't driven yet. Wait till they get a car. I'd change their name to Sally May or something if I were you, you know. The boys, they'll just, and you know why they do that? Girls wreck just about as often, but boys have more fatal accidents than girls. Because when they get a car, it's like, vroom, vroom. I mean, I'm 54 years old and I'm a going, I'm like, vroom, vroom. I just like to feel the power. Say, feel that power, baby. Right? We was out on our bike one day, and I was just puttering along, going down the road. She said, I didn't know our bike would do this. I said, what? She said, putter. I said, well, it won't for long. Yeah. Intent. But the intent, it's not the crime, it's the intent. And that's what I want you to focus on today. I want you to focus on whatever area, and especially the areas you're having trouble in, the areas where you're battling. Just stop today and let the Holy Spirit shine a light on the intent of your heart. Show me my true intent, Lord. And you have to be honest, and you have to dwell there a while, because we'll just dismiss it and say, I'm okay. I'm all right. And we'll keep our little hidden motives and our things. And go right on. Look with me in Genesis, the 6th chapter. I want to show you how important the intent of the heart is. In fact, I think if God couldn't have found one guy that had a heart with good intentions, I don't think we would be here today. None of us would be here today. How many knows in Genesis 6, how many knows we were this close to extinction? We talk about the cranes and the turtles and the, you know, whatever else. But in Genesis 6, we came this close to not ever being here. And some of you think, well, the sorry life I had, I wish I hadn't. Well, guess what? If you have that kind of attitude, we all wish you hadn't made it either. So, you know, cheer up. It's a good day. This is a day what? The Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Genesis 6, verse 1, now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, the daughters were born to them. Sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. Some believe that's demons that were on the face of the earth, and they had sexual relations with women. I'm not sure that's so, but whatever it is, it was bad. Verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also afterwards when the sons of God came, the daughters of men, they bore children to them, and they were mighty men who were old, of old, men of renown. The Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. See, he made a specific note there that it's the intent of the heart. Not just deeds they were doing, but every intent in their heart, every motive that they had was wrong and evil. And the Lord was sorry. Isn't that a sad statement? The Lord was sorry that he made man on earth, and he was grieved in his heart because of the intent of the heart of the people that he had created. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast. I can just hear the old mule saying, well, what are you picking on me for? It's them, you know. It's because He give us dominion and rule over this earth, and whatever we do, it's going to affect everybody on the planet. Just like you, Dad, when your walk with God affects everybody in the household because He's give you charge over your home. You may not even leave your home. She may wear the pants, but you are still accountable for what goes on in your home. So you better get your britches on. Are you with me? And she won't care if you'll lead her with love like Christ led the church and gave Himself for it. She won't care. She'll encourage you to put your pants on and lead this house if you lead it with love and give yourself to your family like Christ. But we're accountable. And so He said, I'm going to destroy man and beast, for I'm sorry that I've made them. Verse 8, But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. And then it says, Noah walked with God. We're talking about walking with God. And He looks at the intent of the heart, and the whole world, every person and beast was almost destroyed, save for one person that He said, I see a good intent in that person. And He saved the planet. In fact, when you get to heaven, it wouldn't be a bad deal. Say, where's Noah? Come here, Noah. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. You the man. Give me some of that. Come on. Huh? And if you have a cruddy life, just go up and punch him in the nose or something. I don't know. Now, I want to show you something else. Whenever King David was getting ready to turn over the throne, go to 1 Chronicles 28. 1 Chronicles 28. And how many knows it's a huge undertaking? David was a strong king, blessed of God, a man after God's own heart. Great king. When you read about King David, he had his battles and his demons, if you will, you know, with lust and so. But great king, and he's getting ready to turn all of this over to his son. And I want you to look at something here that he mentions that was very important. Verse 1. Now David assembled Jerusalem and all the leaders of Israel and the officers of the tribes, of the captains, the divisions who served as king, the captains over thousands, the captains over hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possessions of the king and his sons, with the officials and the valiant men and the mighty men of valor. So he's assembled the best of the best and any prominent individual that there is. He's assembled them together. Then David rose to his feet and said, hear me, my brethren and my people. I had it in my heart to build. And his intent was to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, for the footstool of our God, and had made preparations to build it. But God said to me, you shall not build my house for my name, because you have been a man of war and have shed blood. See? David's intent was to build the house of God, but God said, no, you can't. Because of your past and what you did as one of my soldiers, you don't qualify for that. Sometimes when we're talking about leading the church or doing things in the church, I've seen people that would get upset because they couldn't lead this or couldn't do that, and they just, they had good intentions, but it wasn't a part of their calling, wasn't a part of their mix. You know, and so the church said no, and they get upset, or, you know, I can't play this instrument or that instrument and all. And so, sometimes you have to look at the intent of your heart and you're walking with God and say, regardless of what happens, I'm going to keep my heart right. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to hold His hand. I don't want darkness to come in, because I'm telling you, church, you better listen to me, darkness can come in any time in our life. There's always somebody shooting an arrow at you, and it's always an opportunity to just walk in darkness in an area of your life. Are you lost? I don't think so. Will you suffer loss when you stand before the King and I, when we walk in that? Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, that's when I get to heaven, I just want everything to be good, don't you? When I stand before Him, I don't want the dark spots in my life. I just want to say, you know what? Life's too short to carry that stuff around. Life's too short. So keep the intent of your heart right before God. He had it in his intent was to build, but God said no. Verse 3, but God said to me, you should not build a house for my name because you have been a man of war and shed blood. So there's the two reasons. Verse 4, however, the Lord God of Israel chose me above all the house of my father to be king over Israel, for he has chosen Judah to be the ruler. And of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he was pleased with me to make me king over all of Israel. So he's giving God praise and saying, this is humbly God chose me and my family. And of all my sons, for the Lord has given me many sons. He has chosen my son Solomon. Remember the one that was of the wife of Bathsheba, the one that started in adultery. He chose them. He chose him in that vein to come through. To sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. Now he said to me, it is your son Solomon who shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever if he is steadfast to observe my commandments and my judgments as is this day. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel and the assembly of the Lord, in the hearing of our God, be careful to seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God. And I'd say today, church, just be careful. Make sure when you're leading something, you're doing something, just be careful to know that it's lining up with the commandments of God. That's why it's important to know the Word of God. How many knows you can walk closer to God if you know the Word of God than you can if you don't? There's been times in my life, how many can you remember back when you were a young Christian and you read in there for the first time, love your enemies? How many just stumbled a page or two there? I can remember reading that. That was one of the most liberating things in my life. But boy, talking about I'm walking along with God and then love your enemies? Pray for them? Bless them? Are you kidding me? Do you know these people? That's what I had in my early years. And then I found out all of a sudden when he's saying to me, love your enemies, pray for your enemies, he was thinking about me. He wasn't even thinking about my enemies. He was thinking about what it would do for me if I would just trust him and pray for them and how liberating it would be for me. And that, I don't know about you, but that just liberated me. I mean, I was free after that. You couldn't put me in bondage anymore because I'd love you and forgive you and be your friend if you'd let me be. Now, does it take time sometimes when people are? Yeah, but you know what? Just love them and pray for them and watch God work and bring you back. It's all about you. Skip on down. See, go, now look at verse 8. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of God, be careful to seek the commandments of the Lord your God that you may possess this good land. See, he's wanting you to walk and to keep the commandments because the blessings it brings you. God's always thinking about me and you when he gives us these tasks. He commands us to love our enemies and to keep his commandments. He said, and leave it as an inheritance for your children after you forever. And so we're supposed to leave our children the land and inheritance and all. Now look at verse 9. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. A loyal heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts. How many knows God's looking at your heart? His eyes fixed on your heart, which is really the intent, the thoughts, the feelings. The inward part of who you are, who I am. And understands all the intent of the thoughts. Isn't that something? See, you might come up and pat me on the back and be thinking, I'm going to get you one day. Now, but just on the outside, you're just friendly. You ever have anybody like that? You feel like they're friendly, but you don't trust them? That's probably what you're feeling, you know, and it's probably something there if you're in tune with God. But when they do that, they can't get by God. They may get by me, they may get by you, but God looks at the intent of every heart. And aren't you glad when you do stuff stupid that God's looking at the intent of the heart? Yeah, I messed up, but boy, my intent was good. My intent was good. One of the things, and little things can just eat you alive, and eat me alive if our intent is not good. I'll never forget one time when Jakey was little and he's laying in the crib, and it was just a good principle for me to keep hold of. But you ever give your kid a swat or something, you figure out they didn't really do what you thought they were, you can't take the swats back. And I've never told my kid, just hit me, I was wrong. Just come here, baby, hit me in the nose. Go ahead. No, I've never done that. My kids would have probably, bam. But, you know, when you've done something, and I remember when he was little one time and he was laughing, I told him, I said, it's time to stop and go to bed. And I'll give him a good swat, because he wouldn't, you know, and it's late, and I'll never forget. And he looked at me and I thought, he really didn't get it, you know? And I thought, I shouldn't have swatted him. It wasn't a big deal, but it's a powerful principle that God taught me. My intent was right, and he didn't know, so it's okay, and you just love him and you go on. But life's like that a lot. We'll do something, and here's the key, and I'm going to leave you with this. If the intent is right, when you mess up, it's just a good foundation to stand on for the rest of the process. And if your intent is wrong and you know it's wrong, and especially if you don't confess it's wrong, that's terrible, because you're on bad foundation. You're on a terrible foundation if you're in denial and won't admit it and all, because that's God says that's where I have to pull my hands off of, like Eric when he walked away a while ago. So I'm just saying, if we'll keep our intent right, keep our heart. You know, when I started this church, I was with a denomination, and I had come up in that denomination. Spent about 6 years with them. I was a Sunday school teacher. They approached me, and I became the youth pastor. And then after a while, I went out and evangelized for about a year, and I came back, and I was the associate pastor at this church. Loved the church, loved the people. That's where I cut my teeth in ministry, and will always be grateful for them and for my pastor and all. But whenever God called me to start this church, I'll never forget. It just came one Sunday. I sat in a service like this one Sunday morning, and God spoke and said, I'm calling you to pastor, to be a senior pastor. I thought, wow. And so when I shared this with my pastor, and I'll never forget, he didn't even tell me. His wife come up to me at a rally, or maybe it's that morning, and she looked at me and she says, we've been grooming you to take over the state directorship of our youth, and you're going to miss it. She's upset with me. And I said, if I hadn't really been listening, I would have thought, man, did I miss it? Do I need to pray some more? But I never had that thought. Because here's what I know. When you're starting a church and you don't have a building, you don't have people, you don't have money, you got some problems. And I had none of that. But I had a call from God, and it was just as real the moment He called me as it was after I got all that. But I heard from God. I was walking with God. Now, I love my pastor and his wife and all these people, but when she said that, I thought, oh, they're upset at this, and they had a plan for my life. How many of those people have a plan for your life? Sometimes I have a plan for your life. You ever notice when I come up to you and ask you, do you want to do something? I got a plan for your life. And sometimes you tell me, no, you don't have a plan for my life. I'm not doing that. And then some of you say, yeah, I will. So, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But all I'm saying is they had a plan for me. And here's what it would have boiled down to. If I had taken the state directorship, I'd have had a good salary. I'd have been representing us at all the national events. I would have had rallies. They had rallies every Friday and Saturday night or whenever it was, and they set all that up for you. The East District set all that up, so all you had to walk in with your Bible and just preach the Word, love you all, see you later, and oversee the youth pastors of each district. I mean, it would have all been set up for me. But I never entertained that. I never even thought, boy, that would be a lot easier, and, you know, finances would be there, and I never entertained that, because I knew in my heart, this is what God wants me to do. So we started, and the first Sunday we had, what, 9 people? It was me and Jana and our 2 kids and her sister and her little one and another family. Sunday night we doubled the church, grew to 22. Little musty building that just smelled like a you ever been in Grandma's cellar? For some of you that come from the country, musty, or in an old barn. That's where we started. The flakes would fall off the ceiling and come down while I was preaching. When it rained, there'd be this much water. The little floor sloped, and there'd be this much water down at the altar when it rained. You could see it running down. This had a real tall ceiling. You see it running down the thing. Just as happy as I could be. I don't know about my family, but I was happy. They became happy. All I'm saying is the church had a plan for me and God had a plan for me. And I'm glad I took God's plan, not the church's. Because church loved me. That church loved me and I love that church, but it just didn't, that wasn't what God wanted. And so all I'm saying is this, check your intent and it's up to you whether you're going to find the mind of God or not. You can't blame that on anybody else. You can't blame it on your church. You can't blame it on mom and daddy. You can't blame it on your upbringing. You can't blame it on any of that because God has left us with the manual to find what His will is. And He said, my sheep know my voice and another they'll not hear. And He's obligated Himself to talk to us. It's our obligation to listen, keep the intent of our heart right, and walk with God. And it's a good life when you do. You don't have to beg, borrow, or steal when you do. He'll just bless you. Check the intent of your heart today, would you? Let's do that right now in prayer. Heavenly Father, we open our hearts to You and especially, Lord, in the areas that we're having battles right now. There's some battling physical ailment today. There's some battling relationship problems. There's some battling having battles at work. There's some having marital battles. There's some that's having battles with family members and their children. Some may be battling weight. Some may be battling finances. Some, you know, we all have battles, Lord. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. We're not immune, but we have a Heavenly Father that if we grab a hold of His hand today and we walk in His presence and walk in His will and walk with the mind of God, that we can be like David. Yea, though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. You still have Your rod and Your staff, and You're still leading us beside still waters and green pastures, Lord, when we walk with You. You're the same God that David served. So today, Lord, in every area where we're battling, maybe some's battling lust today. Some's battling greed today. Whatever battle it is today, we open our heart to You and say, examine me, Lord. I want the intent of my heart to be right with You. And if I've offended or I've cheated or I've misused my authority or if I've spoken a word or whatever it might be, Lord, I ask for forgiveness today in Jesus' name. I don't want any darkness in this area. If I've harbored unforgiveness, I've harbored bitterness today, Lord, I ask for forgiveness. I don't want my intent to be wrong. And You said not to harbor that stuff. It's a root of bitterness that will take hold. And so today I release it to You, Lord. And I ask in Jesus' name that You will purify our hearts in any area that we may be battling with today. And help us to check our intent. Everything we've done, everything we'll do from this point on, is our intent right? Is it good? Because God, You're looking at the intent of the heart. Is it good today? Is it good? Show us, Lord, and forgive us. Right now, Holy Spirit, shine a light. And root it out. Everything that's not there, just like a cancer, Lord, root it out in Jesus' name. Take it, Lord. Do surgery today on me and this congregation. Examine our hearts. Today we want to walk out of this place clean in Jesus' name. Today we want to lay everything on the altar today that doesn't belong to us. Unforgiveness. Lord, You said if You don't forgive your enemies, I can't forgive you. And so we want You to forgive us today. So we lay it on the altar, Lord. Doubts and fears, Lord. Those struggling with doubts and fears today. Lay it on the altar today. Forgive me, Lord, for doubting and fearing. You looked at Your disciples when they doubted and feared and You called them faithless and perverse generation. Forgive us, Lord, for being faithless and perverse. We lay it on the altar today. Forgive us. Heal us today, Lord. We want to walk out in victory and faith. We want to walk out today victorious in Jesus' name. Forgive us. In Jesus' name. Purify us today. And then, Holy Spirit, we give You permission to begin to work on our hearts. so that every intent in our heart from this day forward will be pure. Every motive today from this day forward will be pure. We give it to you today. We lay it all on the altar today, Holy Spirit, and we give it to you in Jesus' name. And while Christians are praying heads about, I want to give one more call. If you're here today and your relationship is not right with Christ, or you've never made a confession, you're living in sin somehow or another, and you need God's forgiveness today, and you need to make Him Lord in this area, if you'd lift your hand, I'd like to lead you in a prayer so you can leave clean and sanctified and in good standing with God. Is there one? Anyone else? Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Father, for those that lift their hand today, I pray for them and I lead them to your altar. And right now, God, as we approach your altar, we just thank you, Father, for forgiveness. And God, I'm just going to lead them in a simple prayer that they'll pray and that when they leave this place, that sin will no longer be in their life and that will no longer be a part of them. And I ask God at the conclusion of this prayer that you will give them strength and power to walk in holiness and health. And for those of you that raised your hand, and maybe for those of you that didn't, that have sin in your life or need Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, just pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I give this sin to you. Forgive me, Lord. I lay it on the altar today. I never want it to be a part of my life. Give me power over it in Jesus' name. Give me power over it through the Holy Spirit. And today, Lord, I'm cleansed because I ask for your forgiveness. Today, Lord, I claim that you are Lord in this area of my life. And I give you praise, glory, and honor. And I give you thanks in advance for giving me power to walk in victory in this area. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Lord. We worship you and we thank you, Father, for that. And we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Before we dismiss, I'd like for Kathy to come. Sharon to come, if she would. Come on up here. We have a sister, and I'm not sure what all her needs are today, but she's burdened today, and I was back praying over her, and she said, I want to talk after service, and I said, okay. But here's what I'd like to do. You know, a couple weeks ago or so ago when I was gone, you all blessed Miss Judy, and she didn't ask for anything. Sharon didn't ask for anything today. But I know she has some needs. And so I'd just like for you, if you've got some resources that you'd like to bless her with, I'd like for you to just come as we dismiss and say, you know what? God sees your heart today. You came to the house of God with burdens, and we're going to send you away with blessing. And that's just what I felt led to do for you today, if that's okay. And not to embarrass you, because you're a child of the King. And, yeah.
Family.
Yeah. And so, if you have something, and let's just pray right quick and ask the Lord what He'd have you to do, and just come by and bless her as we leave. Do you have a need, Miss Kathy? Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Sharon today. She's come, Lord, to your house. She could have stayed home. She could have just been weeping and fretting at home, but she didn't. She came And I watched her as she stood beside me today with her hands lifted to you and rejoicing and loving on you and giving you praise in the midst of her need. And so today, as her family, we just come and we bless her. And God, whatever you speak to our heart, that's what we want to lay in her hand today. And maybe someone just want to come and lay a blessing on her through prayer or a word from God or whatever the gift they may have today. But every person that has means of resource that you would lead today, to come and bless her, I ask you to just lead them to the front and let them love on her and be a blessing to her right now. And we thank you in advance, Lord, for meeting this need. In Jesus' name, amen.